there, my lovelies. Welcome back to another episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today, we'll be discussing The Love Witch, currently streaming on Amazon Prime, and The Craft, available on Netflix. Please be fair warned, this is a spoiler-heavy podcast. If you are sensitive to spoilers, beware. These films are not very twist-heavy, though, so I'm not really worried about spoiling them. Also, if you haven't seen The Craft yet...
What is wrong with you?
You must have missed the 90s. What's going on at your house, Carly?
Every dog in my neighborhood just decided to bark, and my corgi decided to sing along.
The aliens are coming!
Watch out. Speaking of aliens, they are pushing Phoenix Forgotten so hard.
Yeah.
Did you see? There's like a Snapchat filter.
Is there really?
Yeah,
I haven't downloaded Snapchat on my new phone yet, so I haven't.
I was playing with it today because I was at Disneyland, and there's totally a Phoenix Forever Snapchat.
Weird.
I didn't realize it was going to be this, like, huge push thing.
This, like, big budget push?
Yeah.
Like, marketing push?
It's so crazy. And there's also, I don't know if you saw it, but there... I literally thought that this movie was streaming on, I don't know if it was Netflix or Amazon or something, but I was going through horror movies to see, mm-hmm. like, you know, what we could add to the repertoire.
Right.
And I totally saw, it wasn't called Phoenix Forgotten, but it was like the Phoenix Tapes, or there was something, and it came out like last year.
I saw that too.
Yeah, and it was about the same thing. And I was like, wait a minute. I literally had to do a double take and see if that was the movie. And it, I don't know, it threw me off.
Well, I'm not super surprised that there's already a movie about that out. It was kind of a thing, you know?
Yes, it was a thing.
Yeah.
But it's like this, I think it's also a found footage.
Yeah. Well, that's the way to do it, I guess.
That's true.
People love found footage. Or they don't.
Or they, you know. But they, you know, whatevs. They're out there.
Well,
so that's a thing.
Yeah, that is crazy. But... Well, let's get on with it. Let's start jumping into our next segment that we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's Trailer Trash Talk is for A Dark Song, with theatrical release date of April 28th in the US. Written and directed by Liam Gavin, it's his first full-length feature. It's an IFC midnight movie with Irish and UK roots. Looks like, and it's already got a pretty high rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
I've heard a lot of things about this movie, that it's A, highly anticipated, and B, that it's great.
Yeah. The IMDb summary is, a determined young woman and a damaged occultist risk their lives and souls to perform a dangerous ritual that will grant them what they want. Yeah, this is a very, like, the trailer's kind of cool. It does look really different. It's kind of got... an occult, like, it definitely has an occult thing happening, but it also has a very, like, claustrophobic,
definitely confined. Yeah.
It feels like there's some brainwashing and some, like, abuse and some, I don't know, it's like a mix of a bunch of things. I honestly doubt that this movie is going to have an actual supernatural element. I mean, that's just, like, what I get from the trailer. Obviously, I don't know shit, but I mean, just watching it, I got more of a feeling like this is going to be one of those things where they believe that something's happening and it's not, you know, it's going to be more.
I can definitely see that. The only thing, there's that one part where she's sitting there and the guy's behind her and there's like something sprinkling down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm intrigued. I want to check this one out for sure.
Yeah, it looks interesting. And I really like claustrophobic films. Like, I like that. That's kind of a trend right now. I feel like we're seeing a lot of these, like, you know, one room movies, you know, one space movies.
Like, makes you feel a little uncomfortable. You're like,
ooh. Totally. And it's kind of cool to just immerse yourself in just one space and, like, how people react to just being in these enclosed spaces. And I really love that. I mean, The Shining's one of my favorite movies. So anything, like, that has a claustrophobic element is near and dear to my heart.
Totally.
So I'm into it. I think it looks really great. It has a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes right now, and I know it did the Indie Film Festival circuit. So it seems like it's going to be a good one.
I'm excited. I'm
stoked. I don't know what to expect in terms of this April 28th release date, if this is going to be probably, I would assume it's going to be more like a
like VOD
independent theater release, yeah. And maybe some VOD. I tried looking it up. I couldn't find much in terms of what to expect. So, you know, we'll follow up once we know what's going on with that. But
that's usually the trend with, I feel like, these the IFC Midnight movies. Like, if you haven't heard from it by now, it's probably going to be heavily released, like you said, in indie theaters.
Demand. I'm hoping IFC Midnight will push it to some easy to stream formats for us.
I hope so too, so we can talk about it.
An Amazon Prime maybe is in our future, fingers crossed. I would love to talk about this one, because we could totally find some more claustrophobic movies to do with it.
Absolutely, we could.
Yeah, so I'm down. I love, and this is great, it goes along with the rest of our films we're doing today, which also have an occult theme. Yes.
Theme, yeah.
I'm down. I'm excited. I like films that deal with the occult and things like that.
They're so interesting because you like, it's true, you spend kind of some of it wondering, like, is this real magic? Is this fake magic? Are we, you know, is someone doing this for selfish there's like so many different layers that you can kind of sneak into occult films.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, there's not a lot that I know about it in terms of, like, real life occultism. And I know that they make up a lot of stuff for the movies, but I don't know. It's just so much fun to, like, watch in a film. I don't know. For me, I really enjoy it.
I totally agree with you.
And I just love everything witches, but you guys knew that already. I'm really excited about this, like, extraordinarily witchy episode we have.
I know, it's so fun.
I'm really stoked on it. I just love talking about witches in general, so I'm really excited about it. All right, well, let's jump in then. Let's talk about The Love Witch. I'm sorry, unless you had anything else to add.
No, okay. I'm good. I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. The Love Witch, written and directed by Anna Biller. The IMDb summary reads, a modern-day witch uses spells and magic to get men to fall in love with her in a tribute to 1960s pulp novels and Technicolor melodramas.
I love the way this movie is filmed.
It is gorgeous, and it's fantastically beautiful and interesting to look at.
Yes.
Endlessly beautiful to look at.
Yes.
And it's 100% credited to Anna Biller.
It's beautiful.
She has some serious directing talent. She has a lot of talent in directing.
So I take it that you are not.
I love how good of a director she is. She's a fantastic director. She also seems to be very talented in costume design, which she sewed a large majority of these costumes
really?
By hand. She also created some of the paintings in this film,
which are beautiful.
She said about half the paintings she did herself. She also made up the song during a certain portion of this film, you may recollect.
Are we talking about the Renaissance Fair?
We are very much talking about the Renaissance scene. Yeah, she wrote that song, and she designed some of the set pieces, so curtains, everything. She had a hand in it. It took her 3.5 years to do this. All the pre-production stuff, it took her 3.5 years. I mean, if you're waiting for funding to come through and to actually create your movie, why not spend 3 years fucking
putting it together?
Yeah. I mean, and it shows. It shows that this is, like, near and dear to her heart and that she, like, put her heart into it. The set pieces are really cool and it's just beautiful. Our main actress is absolutely gorgeous. Like I'm in love with her. She's gorgeous.
Stunning.
Super stunning. And there are in that part of the film, like I want to start off on this point because I'm going to go downhill from here, but I want to start off at this point because it's so good. Like when this part of it is so good. And we don't see a lot of female directors doing shit like this. Like, we definitely see female directors making beautiful, with beautiful film. You know, Karen Kusama, just to say one, Karen is super talented. I mean, The Invitation is a gorgeous film. So I'm not saying that we don't have amazing female directors. I'm just saying, like, this is, like,
this
special.
Aesthetic is
it's different and it's
amazing.
Special. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the film itself is kind of hard to swallow in terms of story, and I know it has a lot to do with, like, the 50s and 60s style of filmmaking that, you know, she's paying tribute to in her own way. I had trouble keeping up with the story. And why is it 2 hours long? Man, that's too fucking long. This movie should be, like, an hour and 15 minutes.
That's where I'll agree with you. I actually really I fell asleep watching this movie. I will absolutely say it. But an hour in, I feel like. And it was, like, late at night. And I, you know, it was after work. But I really enjoyed it. I loved the you know, I'm doing quotes, air quotes, the bad acting. Because it was, like,
I did, too. I did, like, enjoy that.
I really found it to be funny and just... I absolutely agree with you. I do not think that this needed to be 2 hours long.
No.
It would have probably been more successful for me maybe in the hour 20, hour 30 mark.
Yeah.
But, like, I really appreciated this movie so much, and I had a lot of fun watching it. It just made me giggle.
There were definitely parts where I was laughing. Like, this, I found this to, it was definitely funnier than I thought it would be. And, in you know, in a very satirical way.
Absolutely.
You know, especially as someone who I have mentioned recently that I love Mad Men, like, it's kind of like just like a quick, snappy response to that time period, you know, in a way. And
just even like the way that movies were made back then. I was thrown off a little bit by the cell phone.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, when does this take place? I literally was like watching this and all of a sudden, like, chick takes out her phone to call Elaine. And I was like, wait.
Yes. That scene totally threw me for a loop also. Yeah, it's actually supposed to take place in modern day. Like, that is 100% Anna Biller's, that was her intention, is to make a modern day. And even this IMDb summary I read, it says a modern day witch. So it's, that was her intention. She was trying to make it in present day. She literally, I was listening to an interview with her, and she's like, I tried to make a modern movie, but I guess this is as modern as I get. Like, that's what she said. Like, this is the best she can do.
Okay.
Which I don't know that that's true, but I also don't know her as a person. It might be possible. That might be true. That might be as modern as she gets. She seems pretty young, so I find that weird. But, you know, there is a certain, I don't know, because cinema and what's in style just in general is very cyclical. You know, we always return back to what it is. So, you know, maybe this is a way of moving forward using old timey stuff. And I mean, we've seen lots of movies where the time period is kind of up in the air. Like, It Follows. What time period is that? We don't fucking know. You know, like, there's...
Yeah.
But this is so very 60s in so many ways.
This is so stylized, though.
Yeah, that it's hard for me to wrap my head around it not being the 60s. Like, everyone is in period clothing. Like, everyone.
And that's my thing. Is, like, I totally support if you're making a modern day movie. Like, there are plenty of people nowadays that, you know, have more of a 50s or 60s fashion sense, or, you know, 60s, 70s, like, that's fine. But it doesn't translate as being modern day because everybody is in period clothing, like you said. And even the police station, super everything in that, it's not, I don't know if I, like, recognized any computers or anything like that in there. Like,
it's just, like, that cell phone is so weird. It's so out of nowhere.
That's the only thing. Like, they're at a burlesque bar. Yeah. Like, everything about it was super, super, super time period.
Yeah.
And then you have a cell phone.
I had to rewind it and see, like, is she really on a cell phone? Like, I looked down and took a note, and I was like, I heard her on the phone, and she was still at the table. So, like, I rewound it and I'm like, she wasn't on a cell phone. She must have been at a payphone, or someone brought a phone to her at the table, which is what you usually see in older movies. And,
exactly.
And I rewound it. I'm like, nope, that's a fucking cell phone. And not even like an older cell phone, like a giant cell phone from like the late 80s, early 90s. It's like a legit like phone.
Exactly. And so that to me, I was like, okay, that's the only, like, if that.
It's not the only thing, though, because I definitely pointed out other things that were not of the time period.
Okay.
A, I'm pretty sure there weren't tampons in the early 60s. And if they were, they weren't super common. I'm pretty sure that those paper bags with handles that you get at the grocery store, that's not what you would get in the 60s. When she brought in groceries with her date with Wayne or whatever his name is, you know, it had handles. There was little things I was taking notes at. And until I got, and I thought that they were just inconsistencies because they were smaller. But once the cell phone got thrown in there, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
So, totally tampons in the 60s.
Were there really? They weren't super common, FYI. Though, were they?
Everybody was scared of them because of toxic shock syndrome. Yeah. But there were definitely Kotex and, in like the 40s and 50s even.
I mean, I'm sure they existed, but I didn't think they were super common then.
Sure. That's interesting. I definitely would not have. I mean, it's not something that we really think about, I guess.
No.
As like not being a thing.
Right.
But, I didn't think about, like, the shopping bags either.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But I think, and they also talk about the Stepford Wives in the movie.
Yeah.
Which this movie, I would think, would take place in the 60s. The Stepford Wives from 1975. So, like, you know, there's little things like that where I'm just like,
I recognize that, too, a little bit. But, yeah, everything is, I mean, everybody is so stylized.
Very stylized. Which, I mean, it's so fantastic.
It's really
to look
to
at
watch,
it's
for
so
sure.
yeah it's so crazy awesome to look at. The cinematography is beyond cool, and like the color and everything. She said you know, she shot on 35 millimeter, which and she's not the only person that still shoots things on 35 millimeter, but their shit doesn't look the way hers does. And what she said is she just lit everything, like she used so much light on the soundstage when she was filming. Like, she said she would as much light as she could. And that really helped get, like, the look she wanted. Because she says a lot of movies now, when they shoot in 35 millimeter, they, you know, they light it, like, kind of more naturally. They don't use as much light as they used to use. So she really wanted to get that look by using a lot. I really, like, wanted to hear her talk about this movie. Because when I was watching it, I was like, I'm not a huge fan. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it, but I don't, like, I feel like I'm missing something. So it really did help to, like, hear her talk about it. And I feel that way a lot. And I this one of the things I really love about doing this podcast is whether I love it or hate it, I still am researching a movie. And sometimes to a greater extent than others. Granted, I wouldn't claim that we are a research-heavy podcast, but I still like to look into the movies I'm talking about. And the more I learned about this movie and the more I heard her talk, like, the more I really appreciated the film as a whole. And I find that that happens more and more to me. And I really, like, want to, like, extend that knowledge to our audience. Like, if you come across, like, an independent film that maybe you didn't love but you could kind of appreciate, like, I really recommend, like, learning about that director and where their head was, because a lot of these people, these do these things on their own, you know, or with very little help and very little money. And there's so much creativity that stems from that, and especially this film. She had her hand in every part of this film. I mean, I might not have loved this movie, but goddamn, I fucking respect the shit out of it. Like, seriously.
I do, too. I mean, just looking at her other movies that she's directed, I'd check them out and watch them at least once. They look really fun, and they kind of look very similar.
I know that she's starred in quite a few of those films as well, and I think she considers those more to be art pieces than actual, like, films. So I would be, I'm not really sure what I would expect from them, but I'm sure they're kind of very strange. not that this isn't, because it is, this film is also very strange, and in a good way, I think. But I think we should talk a little bit about where this film falls short, because even though I respect it, I think it's also important that we talk about the things we didn't like about this film. So I think that, you know, she obviously has a very strong feminist voice coming through this movie, and there's, but I wasn't quite sure what she was trying to say. I definitely could appreciate certain things about the voices, the female voices we hear in this movie, and it's really nice to see a woman lead that's also like a femme fatale and like badass, but also like a little crazy. Like, it's weird to see that as a woman. You know, usually if there's a woman that's a lead, not that she's not strong, but there's she's more vulnerable, I would say, than our main character Elaine is in this film. And then we also have like a really interesting duality between Elaine and Trish, which is like, Trish is more of like a modern day feminist, or what I would think of when I think of a modern day feminist. You know, she's self sufficient. She has a husband, but she's, you know, she's forward thinking. And Elaine is more of this like kind of like, you have to service the men, and that's how you get what you want. And it's just, they're very different ways of thinking about feminism, which is kind of cool to see, because there are two different, like, there's the feminists who think things like, you know, going to strip clubs is empowering women. And I can get behind that. But then there's also the feminists that will say, like, no, like, that's backwards, and strip clubs are bringing us behind. And so it's interesting, because you see, like, a merging, and, like, also, like, they don't agree, but they kind of get along, at least for the majority of the film.
Yeah, until, you know.
Elaine is a lot more narcissistic than Trish is.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's also a heavy hand with that. But Elaine also gets her power from her narcissism and her beauty. That's how she's powerful. And Trish, she's very, like, thoughtful and has a lot of brains, but she's not, she doesn't feel powerful. So it's interesting to, like, see these two women and their interactions, and how their relationships move forward with men. So I can definitely appreciate that part of it. How did you feel about, like, the whole, like, feminist background? Because anything you read about this movie, like, feminism gets brought up.
I mean, I definitely think it's a heavy feminist movie. But I don't know, like, I feel like, you are correct that Trish and Elaine are both kind of like the opposite sides of the spectrum. But, you know, at the end, Elaine pretty much lays it all out that she was, you know, she had used to be this like mousy girl who was stepped on and, you know, taken advantage of by men. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, her becoming this witch is what, you know, kind of gave her own self-worth, and she started using her feministic power to then, you know, she still used her old ways, but she was extracting from the men what she wanted. And so, you know, like, at the end when she's saying, what are you going to arrest me for? Like, I was just doing what these men have done to me for years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Like, and then Trish, obviously, she just is doing her own thing and kind of, I don't want to say, like, takes advantage of, like, having her husband a little bit, but she definitely, like, seems to kind of, like, have him on the back burner. And so it's, like, kind of, like, if you're a healthy, you know, mix of the two, like, but these are both true. Very extremes.
But it's,
you know what I mean?
It's true, though. Like, it's, it definitely takes, and what this film does is that it takes, like, traditional gender roles and kind of oversimplifies them and then turns them on their head. You know, like, it's, and that's something that's really cool that you don't see a lot. Like, usually in a film, if they're trying to have a feminist perspective, they go the other way, right? Where they just try to show you things you haven't seen before. Women doing things you haven't seen them before and being strong and tough in ways you maybe haven't seen before in film. Where I feel like this movie is more like, let's oversimplify these gender roles and make them ridiculous and then totally fuck with your head with it. So When I was watching it, I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be feeling here or what I'm supposed to be taking from it. And then the more I thought about it after I watched it, the more I could appreciate the feminist perspective that was being brought up. Because it's weird. It's different. It's a different way than I've ever seen it laid out in film. So I definitely appreciate that part of it. But we also have like a very slow story.
It is, and I wasn't clear on what it was exactly that she wanted from these men. If it was just the fact that she enjoyed that she had the power over them, or if she was like actually looking for love, because all of the people that she got to love her ended up dying, and then our last leading male doesn't love her and makes it very clear, and so then she just stabs him in the heart.
Yeah, there was something strange happening there where she she was like consuming their love, right? She was just taking their love until, you know, and she was blaming it on them, you know, that they that men couldn't handle their emotions, and and that, again, this is something that I really love about this film, is that it's not just feminist from a woman's perspective, it's feminist from a man's perspective too. So like, yes, when I say feminism, we're talking about gender equality and the blurring of gender, stereotypical gender roles. So, correct, you know, oversimplifying a man's inability to have
handle
emotions
strong
and things like
feelings.
That. I mean,
yeah,
men can see the satire in that as well as women.
Yeah.
So, but that's her point of view, right? That men can't handle emotions, and so she loves them and makes them love her until they can't handle it anymore, and then they just die. And it's so ridiculous, but the way it's portrayed in the film, you know, a man just dying, you know, because he loves her so much. Because
she had a heart attack, one killed himself.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally ridiculous. And it's supposed to be. That's the point. But
what I was just trying to figure out is what she was looking for.
She just said love, but I don't think she knew what love was. She just wanted men to love her. Yeah, she wanted to be loved. I don't think she cared about loving anyone. Mm-hmm. I think she just wanted to find a bunch of new people to love her. And that's also very, like, I mean, that, as women, that's kind of what we think, right? Like, at least, like, how we're raised or what we see growing up. At least that's kind of how I felt when I was younger, is that your main goal is to look amazing so all men want you. Like, literally, that's the way a lot of girls feel, especially, like, at high school age and things like that. Mm-hmm. That this kind of, like, brings that to light, because it's something that's kind of, like, hidden, I think, a lot of times, is that not only are we hypersexualizing young girls, which is usually what people talk about, but not only that, but the girls feel like they need to be sexual because that's their power and they need men to want them, and that's what needs to happen. It's kind of awesome that she, now that I'm thinking, like, the more I'm talking about this, the more I'm like really appreciating it.
Oh yeah, it's great.
But watching it is kind of tough.
Like, I honestly want to watch it again, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, just some parts of it. Like, what is with the Renaissance Fair? What the fuck is that?
I have no idea, but I was laughing the whole
entire way
through.
Weird. I'm going to bring up Gilmore Girls. I totally thought of the episode of Gilmore Girls with the wedding with Liz and TJ.
Yes.
And, like, the song that he sings. Oh, my God. It was so similar.
I was just laughing the entire way through.
Yeah.
It's just so
funny.
Why would
witches be really into, like, Renaissance parties?
I just love that they just stumble upon this full-blown Renaissance fair when they're riding their horses on a date or something. Like,
so weird.
The whole thing is just so crazy.
They just happen to stumble upon a party that she just happens to know the people
to know everyone.
It, and they just happen to have wedding dress. For
Let's
them,
get
so
married.
They can have a fake wedding, and
the girls are like sneaking a peek at the dude when he's getting dressed, and the guy's just like, "Yeah, man, put these clothes on me, I'm down."
There's a lot of peen in this movie.
There's so much peen.
Yeah, weird peen, though. Like, super hairy dude peen. I guess that's like the 60s thing, right? But the girls didn't have giant bushes. I didn't see any Merkins in this film. I'm just saying.
Definitely didn't, like, look hard enough, but there was definitely the potential.
I feel like the guys might have had Merkins. The girls did not have Merkins. They were, if they did, they were very small. Very small Merkins.
Tiny.
Tiny.
Tiny guys. Tiny
Merkins. Well, the women, it's always possible. The women in this film are very tiny. They're very, like, petite.
Yes.
Yeah. Traditionally beautiful. I don't know. This movie was really weird and kind of cool and kind of boring all at the same time. I don't even know, like,
so bizarre
how I feel about it. But I guess I gave it a three stars on Letterboxd, and I think I stand by that.
I like that. That's a good. Again, I liked it.
I liked it.
I didn't love it. I didn't really like it. I liked
there,
it.
But there are things I love about this and things I hate about it, so it kind of evens out to 3 stars.
Exactly.
You know, I think...
I liked it.
I think the script could have used some lightening up and some shortening, and I honestly always could use some more blood. I didn't see a lot of blood. I kind of hoped that there would be more blood. Not gonna lie. Especially with all the cool colors. I mean, give me some bright red blood, man. Give me lots of it. It's not the kind of movie it is. It's really not a horror movie at all.
No.
No.
No, there's nothing really horror-esque about
it. More of a thriller. An erotic thriller, even,
I like that.
Yeah.
An erotic thriller comedy.
An erotic thriller comedy with some blood. Not a lot of blood. Just some blood. Lots of nudity and some
all
blood.
All the... Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of beautiful women.
So many beautiful women.
It was interesting hearing Anna Biller talk about it, because she was like, you know, hearing men review my film and hearing women review my film are so very different. And the men are always talking about how beautiful it looks and how beautiful the women are. And the women are always talking about the feministic parts of it and that kind of thing. And the men are always saying it's boring, and the women are always very interested in the things happening. Which I thought that was interesting that she saw that. So clearly between the people interviewing her and what she
doesn't
was hearing
surprise
from critics.
Me.
No, it's not very surprising, but...
Although I will say Jason was the... Well, I saw this trailer at this independent theater that I go to sometimes, but it was playing there for like, I feel like the month of February and like half of March. Mm-hmm. And Jason, who did our logo, was like... trying to get me to go with, but like our schedules kept on missing each other. But he's seen this movie like 3 times in the theaters, and he was like super excited when it was on Amazon. So
that's great.
There's a man that loves this movie.
Oh, I'm sure there's lots of men that love this movie. I am not going to oversimplify gender roles here. I'm sure there's tons of men that like this movie. I'm just saying what Anna Biller said in interviews is that she found that the people reviewing her films that happened to be male had more difficulty. But
grasping.
Like I said earlier, I really think that this is truly feminist and that it oversimplifies gender roles for both men and women. And I'm sure men especially are kind of tired of hearing about, like, you know, the 60s beaten down man role. And they're probably even tired of hearing us talk about it probably pretty consistently. But it's nice because this film really dives into that and totally immerses you in it and then, like, fucks with your head. So,
yeah.
I like I said, that part of it's really cool.
Agreed.
So, you know, a little tough to watch in terms of just getting through it, but I think worthy of a viewing, at least one viewing for all of our listeners.
Agreed. I'm probably going to watch it again.
Yeah. I could watch it again. I just wish it wasn't so long. It's really long. 2 hours.
2 hours is too long for this movie. I will agree with
most
you on that.
Most horror movies should not be 2 hours long. Most of them.
At least, like, because the story it doesn't take twists and turns. Like, there's no reason for the prolonged.
There's not much tension or climax to this film.
Yeah.
It's very,
we're not,
like,
working towards anything.
100%. Yeah, there's no real goal in terms of storyline here. Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Not at all. That was good. That was a good, nice little chat.
I think that was a nice little chat. We just stayed pretty general, and we didn't really give much away. Not that there's much to give away, but yeah. There we go. Good job. Good job, us.
clap, 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 clap.
Okay, let's start with the craft then. Craft.
Oh, man.
The Craft. From The Craft. From 1996. Directed by Andrew Fleming and written by Peter Filardi, who also wrote Flatliners and Salem's Lot. Flatliners. God, there's a new Flatliners coming out. I'm kind of excited about it. Not gonna
really
lie.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's coming out this year. I know. Where we don't have been? A trailer yet. We'll discuss once that comes up. So the yes. IMDb summary for The Craft is: a newcomer to a Catholic prep high school falls A newcomer to a Catholic prep high school falls in with a trio of outcast teenage girls who practice witchcraft, and they soon all conjure up various spells and curses against those who even slightly anger them. So, as we've talked about this movie briefly before.
Love this movie.
We've both mentioned it in List previously. This movie meant a lot to me growing
up.
Yeah,
me too.
This movie might be responsible for me being into horror. It might. It's probably one of the first horror movies I ever saw that I found meaningful and exciting to watch. And there's
I don't remember the first time I saw this movie.
There's not anything like it. It's
no.
It's really fantastic. And it's got a lot of the things I love still to this day, which is teenage movies. I love teenage movies still.
Yeah,
now
me too.
I love them. And then also it has like this, it's so like female driven and the women are powerful and they're cool.
Yeah.
And like as a young girl, finding a movie like this is like, it's like you want to be them so badly.
And also the power of female relationships with other females.
Totally. What we can do together.
Yeah.
We're unstoppable together, you know.
Yeah. Whereas like a lot of people, you know, girls, when they're children, are kind of taught to compete with each other, you know? And this was like, they couldn't do anything without a fourth. Like, they
right.
needed the four of them to be together in order to create this entity.
Totally.
And, like, this movie, oh, I love this movie so much.
I love it so much. And I watch it, and I still, like, I was trying to look at it with a critical eye upon this viewing, and I found it impossible. I can't do anything but love this movie. I was even like, okay, well, the CGI is going to be terrible. And I was like, no, you know what? The CGI is not even really very bad for 1996. Mm-hmm. It's pretty fucking good. I mean, you can tell it's CGI, of course. But, I mean, for 96, it's pretty good. Those snakes, pretty fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And to me, I found this movie terrifying as a teenager. I do no longer think there's anything scary in this film. But, you know, I still think this should be considered a horror film. And it's, I think, a great film to show young adult women. Teenagers and maybe even preteens. Because I think, I'm pretty sure I was like 12 when I saw this movie for the first time.
Yeah, I was definitely...
There's some adult...
A youngin.
Adult things, but not a lot of them. Not enough that I would say, you know, keep your 12-year-olds away from it. But I guess, you know, everyone's different in their feelings towards that. Some people don't even want their kids watching any witch movies at all.
That's true.
So, but man, this movie means a lot to me. Like, it's just, I'm just even a little bit more than, I'm just so excited to talk about it even a little bit. So, why don't you tell me about when you saw this movie, Carly, for the first time?
I can't remember the first time that I saw it, to be honest. I remember...
It wasn't at an all-girls sleepover like me, and then we played Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, and no one floated, and we were all real upset about it.
Wasn't that the biggest letdown?
Oh, we really
me
thought it was going to work.
Definitely, yeah.
We were so sure of it.
The worst. Such a bummer. I definitely saw it with one or two girlfriends, and I remember... recognizing Robin Tunney, who plays Sarah, mm-hmm. from Empire Records.
Yep.
And also Fairuza Balk, because I was super obsessed with the movie Return to Oz when I was little.
Oh, interesting.
And so, yeah, and so I was like, that, like, girl looks familiar. And, like, IMDb wasn't around, but I sure did have my Return to Oz VHS, Randy. And so immediately I was like, whoa, like this is such a shift.
Yeah.
She goes from Dorothy Gale to being Nancy, crazy Nancy.
She is terrifying in this movie.
She is so scary in this movie. And like, I just remember like, oh, and then Christine Taylor from Hey Dude.
Oh my God.
So like this movie like had, I had a lot of feelings going into this movie. And like,
it's so hard to see Christine Taylor in this role.
I know, because she's
I fucking love her, and she is the most racist piece of shit in this film.
I know.
The things that she says, I'm like, oh my God. Like,
it hurts.
It hurts to watch
it. Hurts the soul. I'm like, you're Melody.
Yes.
You're not, you're from Hey Dude. You're like
supposed
the nice...
to be like hanging out with Ted on the ranch. Yes. Like, you're not supposed to be. If you're younger listening to this, Hey Dude was a show on Nickelodeon when we were young.
And, yeah, now Christine Taylor is married to Ben Stiller.
Yep, she totally is.
I loved her. I still love her.
I still love her, too, but it's really hard to see her be such a piece of shit in this film.
I know, because she's so, that's, like, so against, I don't know her, but I feel like that's so against type for her.
Like, you know what was really funny that, like, I caught in this viewing of it that I don't think I really, like, compared before is that scene, when kind of shit starts hitting the fan and Christine Taylor's all of her hair is falling out and she's just mm-hmm. sitting in the shower with her hair like coming out yes. and she's crying. It was so such an homage to Carrie and I totally did not catch it before. I loved yes. that. I love that because I was like, I love how when I can just watch a movie for the millionth time and still get something new from it. Granted, totally. That was probably the only thing new I got from it, but still, it's pretty awesome. Because I also love Carrie. What's not so, to love? Yeah. So.
Everything. Yeah. I mean, this movie, I can't even, like, express into words.
It's just, hard like, to talk much... about it because we love it so much.
How much it meant to me.
Well, I have some notes. We can try and go through them.
Yeah, because I'm, like, obviously completely tongue-tied.
Well, that's okay. I think we did a good job starting. Okay, so we got Skeet Ulrich mm-hmm. back. Well, this is before Scream, isn't it? Or around the same time as Scream.
Yes.
We got Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich back together again, but in very yep. different ways. And Skeet Ulrich is not as attractive as I remember him being in this film.
I never thought he was attractive in this film. I was not a fan of his buzz cut.
No. I think in Scream he's a little bit handsomer.
I agree, but I think it's the hair.
Maybe. It might be the hair. He has, like, a weird mouth thing that very much sticks out when he has short hair. This is inappropriate, but I'm just saying,
his, like, I don't know, like, the buzz cut situation, maybe it was the way it was styled.
He's also a super dick in this movie.
He
is. Not that he's not a dick in Scream, but it's hidden for a long time, so.
Yeah. Yes.
I think that kind of helps. Like, he's such a dick.
So, Scream was actually the same year
yeah.
as this movie.
Yep, and we also got What's-His-Face from Clueless. I totally forgot his name.
Yes, Brecken Meyer.
Brecken Meyer. Sorry, I totally forgot his name for a minute.
She's gonna cry, and then I'm gonna cry. And then we're all gonna cry.
And he's also a dick in this movie. But he's still his, like, quirky, funny self. You know?
And then Rachel, I'm not sure what her real name is.
She's Rochelle in this film, and I think Rochelle. Her name in real life is Rachel, actually.
Oh. Is from, is Mary Jane in...
Yes.
What the hell's that movie called?
The one with Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Why can't I
love
think
that movie.
You're putting me on the spot, now my brain stopped working.
Rachel True is her real
yes,
name.
Yes, Rachel True is her real name.
That's right. And now I have to look it up because it's going to bother the crap out of me.
How are
half
we both?
Baked.
Half-baked, that's right.
Yes.
I always, like, want to say how high. I don't know why. Like, I confuse how high with half-baked just because they
I
both begin
love that
with H's
so
and they're about weed.
Yeah.
I love her, though. She's fantastic.
I do, too.
By the way, she was, like, almost 30 years old when they filmed this movie.
She's gorgeous. She's still gorgeous.
Amazing. She's, like... She can play a teenager at 30. Fuck you. Like, that's not fair. Because there is no way I could pass as a teenager. God damn it. She is gorgeous. They're all, they all are gorgeous and amazing. Yes. And like, all right, let me go through my notes. Let's see. Okay, so there's a man. I just, this is another thing I caught this time that I don't think I caught before, but I was like, there keep like twice in the beginning of this film, we have a homeless dude show up with snakes. Mm-hmm. Trying to give a girl a snake. Can men just stop following us around trying to give us snakes? We don't want your fucking snake. Keep your snake.
That guy is so scary.
In your pants, where it belongs.
I feel like I was more scared of that guy watching it now than I was watching it when I was like 12.
He's the most terrifying part of this movie. Him and Nancy. He and Nancy.
100%. I agree with you.
Well, Nancy is fucking terrifying.
Her shoes in this movie, I, like, oh want God. Her shoes. I don't even think I could ever wear them because they're, like, the most narrow things of all time.
They're so narrow.
Her witchy boots.
I have pretty narrow feet. I might be able to pull it off.
They're so cool
they're
looking.
They're so cool. But I remember being young and thinking those boots were the most terrifying things ever. And now I'm like, oh, my God, dragging I want a pair of those boots. Oh, when they're dragging. The toes dragging. I can't. That used to freak me out so badly. That and the needle going in the back scene. Oh, when I was young, whew, those terrified me. Now I'm like, yes, put that needle in her back.
Right?
Yeah. Like, it just looks like she's getting a tattoo, but there's no ink.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Christine Taylor's language is horrifying. I wrote that a bunch of times.
Agreed. It made me cringe. Probably more than anything else in this movie.
I think Rochelle has one of the best lines in the film when they're talking about Nancy and her spell's not working and she's mad about it. And she goes, she doesn't want to be white trash anymore or something. I told her, you're white, honey. Deal with it.
Yes.
I love that line.
Oh. It's so
Rochelle's
good.
A great character.
She is.
She's a great character. I love all of them, but I think Rochelle's like my favorite. I love her. Nancy is fucking terrifying. I just can't.
Yes.
When she's walking on water, oh my God. Oh, chills.
She's pretty sure this movie introduced me to Morrissey and the Smiths.
It totally did. And there's also Portis. Portishead is also in. I'm a huge Portishead fan. I love Portishead. So, like, I'm just like, I was listening to him. I'm like, oh, I totally remember, like, loving Portishead because of this movie. And I still continue to love Portishead.
This movie opened a lot of doors.
And by the way, Morrissey and Portishead, not on the fucking soundtrack. What the fuck are you doing?
I remember that.
How are you going to have Morrissey and
that's like
Portishead?
That's probably the most, like,
the dumbest
iconic
shit
song.
Ever. Like, how are you not going to put that in your soundtrack? You fucked up. Whoever made the soundtrack done fucked up by not putting that on the actual soundtrack.
Agreed.
Fuck. And I was like reading the songs on there. I'm like, what even are these songs? Like, nobody knows these people anymore. Ugh. Okay. Also, when Ray dies, who's Nancy's stepfather or father or whatever, mm-hmm. when he dies, they get $175,000 and they're acting like it's like millions of dollars. And they're spending money all willy-nilly. I'm like, you better stop doing that. You're going to run out of money really soon.
Oh my God. I was like, oh my God, that penthouse apartment isn't going to be there for very long.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
Put that in your pocket.
Get a normal apartment that's not in the trailer park.
Don't buy a jukebox filled with only Connie Francis.
Put yourself through school. Get a good job. Like, I'm like, these are the things.
So funny.
By the way, a jukebox filled with Connie Francis is kind of my dream, too. So I'm not going to lie. My Italian roots are showing. I know I'm fine with it. I really love Connie Francis. I have Connie Francis records. I could
That's
do a
amazing.
Connie Francis jukebox. I'm just saying. Totally.
I
do
want
that.
You to.
Oh, I could totally do that.
Oh, man.
I totally. Every teenage girl who has seen this movie wants to do glamour spells all day, every day.
Absolutely.
Change their hair color. I love how she changes her eye color and they're like, oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It's really such a fun movie. The pacing is fantastic in this movie because it's like it's perfect. You get everything you need in the time that you need it. So you get just enough like shit at the beginning that when things finally go right, it's super satisfying, and things go too right and then take this turn. It's a great way to tell a story. And a lot of times I feel like you don't get enough of the good stuff. And I feel like this movie has a lot of the good stuff. So you get really happy and into these characters and their relationship together before it just turns to shit, which I really appreciate. Because don't you feel like that way a lot of times in movies? Is like you just want to see enough of the good stuff that it's satisfying. And a lot of times I feel like I just don't get enough of it. And I feel like we spend a good portion of this film like excited for these girls and wanting and loving what they're doing and how they're reacting to things. And then it just kind of goes...
Wanting Bonnie's scars to go away.
Fuck, you want Bonnie's... You're so excited when Bonnie's scars go away.
You are.
And
you want... You want Christine Taylor to stop being such a bitch to Rochelle.
You do. And you even want Nancy's piece of shit father, stepfather to die. Like, you do. Yeah. He sucks.
You do. He is the worst.
When she kills him, you're like, yes, finally, that piece of shit is gone. And when she has the new apartment, you're still excited for her, even though she's crazy Nancy.
Yeah. And she's even cool for a little bit. And
She is.
She goes too far.
She gets greedy. She gets greedy, and that's when shit goes to shit.
Exactly.
Not to jump to the end of this movie, but I'm going to. So I don't know how much more we can really talk about how much we love it.
how much our listeners want to listen now, to how much we love it.
If you're our age or older or slightly younger, whatever, and you're familiar with this movie and watched it a million times like we have, you'll know at the very end when you find Nancy in the mental hospital. Spoiler alert, Nancy's at the mental hospital at the end. And she's talking about how she can fly. There's about a minute long close-up of her face. And she's just making all these crazy faces and, like, sounds. And it's the scariest thing ever.
Yeah.
And
I can fly.
They cut that out of this version on Netflix. Did you notice that, Carly?
Yeah, I don't think it was... I thought maybe I remembered it differently.
When it comes to this movie, I have a photographic memory. It's like this and Clueless. I remember everything about it. So I...
Yes!
It's true.
Oh my God, they're doing that movie for Synespia in June, and I'm so excited.
Oh my God. I might have to come up and watch that with you.
You should.
But there's... I know for a fact... There was like a minute long scene of her doing crazy faces and just making crazy sounds. And they totally cut that out. They definitely show her being crazy, but it's not nearly as long as it was. And she's not doing half the crazy shit she was. And I even texted you when I was watching. I'm like, they cut the crazy shit out at the end.
And I was like, did they?
Yes, they did. She goes, and she makes all these faces and like...
She does.
She did. They don't do that at the end of the Netflix one. I think Netflix cut the end a little short. Which,
Netflix?
I mean...
What gives?
That's my... Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure someone will. But I'm 99% sure that that's what happened. So... I should have checked and like looked it up, but I didn't.
Is there a way to do that?
I don't know. I could probably Google it and maybe something would show up and maybe something wouldn't show up. I might be the only crazy person that noticed that because I'm weird and remember things like this. Just because it traumatized me as a child and traumatized me in a good way, not a bad way, like just like stuck with me, you know? And there's so much good bug stuff. Oh,
oh man.
Because you know I hate bugs. There's so much good bug stuff.
I mean, the toilet, like, I feel like I just have a phobia of bugs crawling up from drains because of this movie.
Yes. And they also, like, the thing with, like, the maggots is that they, like, they look like they're breathing.
Oh, when it, like, pulses out of
the thing. No, it's horrible.
Yes. No. So good.
Oh, my God. All right. Are we ready to move on? We still have more stuff to talk about. We can't stick on this movie forever.
All right. Fine. Fine.
Okay. Because we're already at like an hour.
So. I saw that.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's move on to our next segment. It was so great talking about this. Oh, wait. One more thing. When I looked this up on IMDb, you know how they do the plot keywords? The first three plot keywords are female stockinged feet, stockings, and female stockinged legs.
What?
Those are the three first plot keywords that come up.
That's weird.
And all I can think about is the only person who decided to do the plot keywords for this film was someone with a crazy weird foot fetish for teenage girls. And it really upset me, and I just want to say fuck that person.
That's so bizarre.
Isn't that weird and creepy? That should not be a plot keyword on IMDb.
No.
It's disgusting.
I enjoyed that the people who liked this also liked, and Jawbreaker is on there, because I freaking love that movie too.
Oh god, it's been a really long time since I've seen Jawbreaker.
It's so good. I rewatch it every once in a while.
Really? I haven't seen it in a long time.
It's great. Okay. You should watch it.
Well, moving on to our new segment that we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
That was really good, Carly.
I had hands and everything.
I know.
Guys.
There was like jazz hands. It was fantastic. This week's social media question of the week is, if you were a witch or a warlock, what is the first spell you would want to learn? Okay, so we have quite a few answers. I was really surprised because I just put this up like 2 hours before we started recording and we got a lot of responses. So thanks, guys.
These are good,
too. Way to be on top
of
it. In between the novel from Instagram says, how to disappear.
And I like it.
I wonder if that means like invisible or she just legit wants to disappear. I don't know. But invisibility I'm down with. I don't know that I want to actually disappear unless I'm reappearing somewhere else.
But
Yeah. Cat Black, our boy Cat Black, how to make money out of thin air, making it rain. That's a good one.
I like it.
Yeah. Carly's doing her rain dance.
Make it rain.
At WS Fairy Tales on Twitter says, the one that makes you feel like you didn't just eat an entire large pizza.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. That seems like a good starter spell. You know, the other ones seem more complicated. This is a good starter spell.
That's great.
You know,
I like it.
To just be able to eat an entire large pizza, but also didn't eat an entire large pizza.
Yeah, surprise. Yeah.
The Nerds of Nostalgia podcast said, how to talk to my dog. That's pretty awesome. I would like to be able to talk to my cat.
Yeah, I like that one a lot,
too. I mean, we talk to each other, but we don't actually know what each other's saying, you know.
I feel like my dog knows what I'm saying. And then when it's trying to, like, tell me something, it just is like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Do you have these up, Carly? Can you read the next one? I feel like you're supposed to read the next one.
Okay. Tommy B coming through with Avada Kedavra. There are a lot of annoying people in the world. And then in parentheses, oh, did you write that or did he write that?
I wrote that because I had to look it up, but then I found out it was a Harry Potter thing. So then I was like, oh, I'll let Carly say
please.
It.
Please. Avada Kedavra is the killing spell from Harry Potter.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a good thing for Carly to talk about since she's aware of that. I'm like, is he literally just saying spells like I know them?
I saw that one pop up too and I was like, I like nodded.
Yeah,
you're in like smiley face.
Yeah, I got you, Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah, Tommy B.
Christina, who was on our last episode, was how to turn people into frogs, which legit Christina. Made me laugh so hard.
I like you.
Because she's like, she's so literal about it. She's like, I know what spell I want to know how to do. I want to know how to turn people into frogs, which is like the thing that people think of it, which is like witches' spells, is turning people. I laugh so hard. I love Christina. we also got a tweet from the Test Pattern Show, which if you're not familiar with Test Pattern Show, go check it out. It's Tab from The Girls in the Back Row and Jacob, who does like a million podcasts. And they're awesome together. They go really deep into movies. And not just horror movies, like all different kinds of movies. Tab said invisibility, which is a great one. And Jacob said shape-shifting, which is also a fantastic choice.
That is great.
Both great, great things. Ryan S. said, make me dinner spell. No, seriously, I'm super lazy about cooking.
Perfect.
Yeah. Do you have one, Carly? Do you have a spell that you would want to learn first if you were a witch?
I think mine would be teleportation.
That's a really good one. Because then you
and the
can
only
go
reason
anywhere.
I was like so aware of it is like I was thinking about that the other day when we were driving home from Boise. I was like, it'd be really awesome if I could just like be like, I want to be here for the weekend and then just like teleport there.
Yeah. Anytime you're on a long road trip, it kind of that comes up in your head, doesn't it?
Well, and it's like, I love road tripping, but there's some times where you're just like, I just want to be able to be someplace.
So mine is, I think I would like to be able to make myself super strong just at certain points, like whenever I felt like being super strong, you know, just like be able to beat up whoever I wanted, like Buffy style, just like be as strong as Buffy, just only sometimes, not all the time.
Can't you just choose to, like, not use? I mean, yeah, I guess that's the same thing.
I think I would just worry about, like crushing someone's hand or something.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a fun one. I was, like, having a really hard time coming up with the question. And I'm like, this is a great question. We'll just go with that.
That's so good. Right. I love it. Like, that question, and especially for this episode. So perfect.
There we go. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with us before we close out. Carly, you watched the new Star Wars trailer.
And I'm so excited. It's all I could think about on Friday.
Yeah.
And I was at work, and I was literally trying to work, and I did work, but I was also kind of like, but Star Wars, and I just wanted to talk to everybody about it, and I, you know, was at work, and it was, I'm really excited about it.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't see it yet. I don't even think I saw the last Star Wars movie.
You know, some people are really into it, like me.
I mean, I like them. I'm not against Star Wars. All my dogs are named
after Star Wars characters.
I know. You're very into Star Wars. Yeah.
I'm in it.
I appreciate Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I wasn't super into Star Wars growing up, so I think that's why I'm not, like, super into it now. I don't have that nostalgic thing for it. But I appreciate it. My dad got
me into it pretty early.
The new movies are the new movie I saw was great. I don't remember the name of which one it was, honestly.
The Force Awakens, or did you see?
No, I saw the Force
Rogue One.
I think it was the Force Awakens
with Rey and BB-8.
Yes, I saw that one and I liked it. But like I said, I don't even remember the names of them. I'm like, I see them and then I kind of forget after. It's not an obsession. It's something I enjoy, but it's not an obsession.
J.J. Abrams filmed that movie on 35, like using a lot of the cameras that they used to film the original.
Yeah.
And I was lucky because I live in L.A. They're like the one theater that was showing it on 35 is here. And it was like the best thing. Like. Ever. It was so cool because it was like new, but it felt like it was old, and it was just like, oh, it was so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now I'm just happy.
So I want
to tell you about Monsterpalooza.
Yeah, I need to talk about Monsterpalooza a little bit because it was so much fun. I really missed you there, Carly. I was like, Carly would love this so much.
I was so jealous looking at all your pictures.
It was my first horror convention, guys. Believe it or not. As long as I've been into horror, I'm really weird with crowds. So I was a little bit fearful. But I think this was a good starter one because in case I end up going to Comic-Con this year, at least this is kind of like prepping me for crowds a little bit. But Monsterpalooza really wasn't nearly as crowded as I was expecting, which was nice. It was definitely a smaller horror convention than I thought it would be. There was still a ton of stuff going on and a lot of people there. It just wasn't like you couldn't move or anything. You know, there was enough room to like spread out and see everything and not get crushed to death, which was lovely for me. So I'm also very short, so I get weird when there's a lot of tall people around me. I have a difficulty with that.
Totally. And I know what you're saying.
And also the people that were there, I felt like they were my brothers and sisters. Like, I was like, these are my people, man. Like, yeah. I really felt a connection. Everyone was very friendly to each other, which is kind of rare in Southern California. People are usually very, like, you know, don't talk to me. I really loved that, like, weird sense of community. So there was a Friday the 13th panel that I went to, which was awesome. It was Kane Hodder's birthday, and we all sang happy birthday to Kane Hodder, and they brought out this cake with a Jason mask, and it was really fun. We got to hear all their stories, and they showed clips from like different kill scenes from the movies, and then they did like commentary over them. It was really a good time. It was just great. It was just, I loved it so much. Especially after doing all the Friday the 13th movies in December, like it was so nice to just like really connect with everything happening and really remember everything very vividly. So it was really fun. It was really, really fun to
That's super awesome.
That was probably my favorite panel that I went to. Which what was really sad is Mike Flanagan had a panel, and it was Saturday morning at 11. The doors opened at 11, and his panel was at 11. So
that's kind of shitty.
It was horrible because there was maybe 25 people in that room, which could have easily held like 150 to 200 people. So it looked so empty. And I was sitting like up front and center because I love Mike Flanagan. So I was so excited to see him. But I think
when did you get to? I'm just curious, was because you said the doors opened at 11 and you went on Saturday, right?
I went on Saturday. Yeah.
Was there like a line to get in?
There was. I already had my passes, though. So there was two lines. There was like the lines for people with tickets and the line for people without. They were still selling tickets throughout the entire day. So I know they weren't sold out.
Gotcha.
I was waiting in line for maybe a half hour. I totally probably didn't need to, but like I said, if I didn't want to see Mike Flanagan so badly, I probably wouldn't have cared if I was in the line at all. I probably would have just waited till after the doors opened. Because like I said, I don't like crowds. But it seemed like everyone going in was just kind of rushing to go see they were kind of rushing in to go see like Robert Englund or like, you know, one of the bigger names that was there because those lines get crazy. I didn't even think about that. I was just like beelining for Mike Flanagan. So I went and I had no questions prepared, but no one was asking questions. So I actually asked a question and I was super nervous about it, but, you know, made eye contact and he was very friendly. He seems like a really cool guy. I asked him if he was planning on writing another movie with his now wife, Kate, who helped him write Hush. And he said, yes, they're working on a script together, but he couldn't talk a lot about it.
Amazing.
This was also right before he announced, the new Netflix movie he's doing about House on Haunted Hill. So that's something that's coming. He's like, I really want to tell you about my new project, but I can't. They were going to announce it this morning and they didn't. So I need to wait. But it was really great to hear him speak. The guy that was interviewing him, I kind of wish that he knew more about Mike Flanagan because I kind of felt like he didn't. He was asking.
That's a bummer.
He was asking him like really simple questions, and I felt like he could have gone a little deeper. These are all horror fans. People know who Mike Flanagan is. Like,
moderator is so important at conventions.
Yeah. So I was a little bit disappointed in that. I was like, I could have been interviewing him better than this. Like, I also know a lot about Mike Flanagan because I like him a lot.
Right.
I'm really excited about Gerald's Game. He was really talking up Gerald's Game a lot and talking about you know, Stephen King and writing, talking to Stephen King through email and how much like Stephen King was an influence on him. And it was just a really great panel with like 20 people at it. And I felt so badly. I even tweeted at him and I was like, a lot of people miss Mike Flanagan panel and it was amazing. And I really was excited to hear him talk. So, cause I feel like he didn't get any appreciation, but maybe he picked that time slot too. Cause he didn't stay throughout the whole day. Like maybe he only had a certain period of time he could show up, which is totally possible. But Mike Flanagan, awesome. I love Mike Flanagan.
That's awesome. What a good question, too.
Thank you. I thought that was a good question. He was like talking about, like, oh, yeah, and we got married after we did Hush. I'm like, yeah, I know. I didn't say, I know, but I was like, yeah, I know. He just seems like a really cool, down-to-earth guy. I also met George Wendt from House and also, of course, Cheers. I posted so many pictures on Instagram, guys. Like, you can still go on there and check it out if you want. There's, like, Carly, did you look through all those? There's so much stuff on there.
I did.
Just to talk a little quicker about things. I didn't wait in line for anybody famous. Like, George Wendt was just sitting there, so I just went up to him and talked to him. I didn't want to wait in line for Robert Englund. Not that I don't want to meet Robert Englund, because I totally do, but I just can't deal with lines. Like, there was too many other things to see, and I only had a day there. So I wasn't going to spend half my day waiting in line to meet someone. I'm just not going to do it.
Totally.
I'm also more into meeting, like, directors and creators, like, than I am actors. It's just kind of, like, more where my head goes. Like, I'd rather meet a writer or a director than an actor. Not that there's anything against actors. It's just, like, where my interest lies. The costumes stuff they had there was great. There was makeup, so many makeup artists there. There was this one makeup artist who was doing this zombie girl, and the zombie girl that she was doing makeup for was super, super thin. She's just a really, like, thin woman. And so it made it, like, even more creepy. Like, she, like, had, like, it just looked like her bones were it was just, the makeup was so good on her. That's, and I, awesome. I took a picture of her. I just got right up in her face and took a picture. So there's one of those on Instagram. And then I was walking through, like, where all the shops were, not shops, but the vendors were, and I hear over the announcement, oh, there's a panel in this room with blah, 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 and Juliet Landau. And I just hear Juliet Landau and just start fucking running. Drusilla! Drusilla!
I'm coming!
I'm coming, Drusilla! And I get there, and she's not fucking there. They're like, oh, and Juliet Landau's sick. And I'm like, motherfucker. It's for a horror movie she did. They were doing, like, a little preview screening for it.
Oh, cool. Did you stay?
I stayed for a little bit of it, but it didn't look like anything I was super interested in. So gotcha. I didn't stay. There's just too much other cool stuff going on that, honestly, if it's not Juliet Landau, yeah. I'm just going to go. I'm sorry.
I gotcha.
It's no offense to you. I'm sure your movie's fine. I just want to go see Juliet Landau. So I like tweeted, because I was tweeting because I was like so excited to see Juliet Landau, because I don't even think I realized she was going to be there. And I was like, oh, you guys, Juliet Landau is going to be there. And I tagged her on Twitter because she actually follows us on Twitter. I don't know why, but I love her so much. And then she wasn't there. And I'm like, oh no, she's not here, guys. She's sick. And I like had crying emojis. And she, like, responded to me right away. She's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, oh, my God. Do not be sorry.
I was literally, like, getting these alerts. And I was like, why is Juliet Landau tweeting us at Shannon's wedding? Like, oh, my God.
What is life?
I had to, like, inconspicuously open my phone and start reading Twitter back and forth. Because I was like, what is going on? What am I missing?
Why is Amy talking to Juliet Landau and I'm not involved?
It's fine. We love you.
I know. I was like, no. I'm so sorry you're sick. Please. Like, I was like, do not be sorry. Please feel better. I'm just really sad because I love you. But yeah, Juliet Landau. Fucking awesome. There was so many cool people there and so much cool stuff happening. And check out Instagram. I took a lot of pictures, guys. I took a lot of pictures.
Are you
going
to come up for Son of Monsterpalooza?
I would love to. And I probably will. When is it? Do you know what month it's in?
It's in the fall sometime.
Yeah, I'll probably be there.
August, September.
I'll probably be there.
I know
there.
It's before October.
And
so.
Tony had a great time, too. And, you know, he's not super into horror or anything, but he really enjoyed it. We had a great time. Just all awesome. In all, just, like, I would go a million times. I loved it. Yeah. We also got Mystery Science Theater that came out on Friday.
I have not watched any of it. I had a super busy weekend, so.
We only watched one episode and I fell asleep because, you know, it's super long. But what I watched, I was like laughing hysterically at. So I really enjoy Mystery Science
Theater. I'm excited for that.
Okay, we should really close out. This is a long episode.
Sorry, everyone. We just got really excited about these movies. Apparently.
I just got really excited about Monsterpalooza all over again. It was so much fun. I had such a good time. Okay, so thanks to Troy Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com for more information on them or to listen to any or all of our episodes. We still have a lot of stickers to give away, so if you're interested in getting some stickers, all you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes, then send an email to FinalGirlsHorrorcast@gmail.com and we'll send some directly to you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Okay, well, that's it for today, my lovelies. We have so much fun stuff up ahead. We just had a meeting this week and planned out some months coming up. So we will have some really fun stuff for you. But join us next week when we discuss Pet, which is now streaming on Amazon Prime, and 10 Cloverfield Lane, which is on Amazon Prime and Hulu. So check those out if you haven't yet, and we will discuss them next week. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.
Bye.